In our text today, Paul starts by writing in verse 9, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." In our inductive Bible study group, whenever we see a sentence in the Bible that starts with the word but, we have learned to stop and take notice. You see, the word but is a conjunction that connects. It is used to introduce a topic that is contrasting or the opposite of what was just said. In this case, we can clearly see the contrast between verses 1 through 8 of chapter 4 and verse 9. Paul, in verses 1 through 8, strongly exhorted the believers to abstain from sexual immorality and live in holiness. In verse 9, Paul wrote that he had no need to exhort these new believers to love one another because they were already doing it, already taught by God to love. So Paul, who began this chapter by emphasizing chastity, now moves on to the importance of charity, the importance of brotherly love expressed by agape love. Today, our text is split into two main parts for you note takers. Part 1, verses 9 and 10, love that sacrifices. Love that sacrifices. And part 2, 11 and 12, love that works. Let's begin by reading verses 9 and 10, love that sacrifices. Verse 9. "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." Verse 10. "And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more." Paul starts out by writing in verse 9, "But concerning brotherly love." Here we come to our first topic under love that sacrifices. Number 1, brotherly love. Brotherly love, the Greek word philadelphia, originally referred to affection between blood relatives, but is used in the New Testament as affection between Christians. It is a love that binds together the children of one Father. As Christians, we are uniquely bound together by our singular Heavenly Father. He binds us together as family. We love and care for each other because we are family. Now, Paul writes in verse 9, "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another." Here, Paul uses an emphatic expression, "you yourselves," repeating the word twice to make it clear that it was neither Paul nor any other teacher who taught them to love one another. God alone taught them. They were theodidactos, God taught to love. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, Paul tells us, "The love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." Now, last week, we learned how the Holy Spirit was given in order to give us power over sin and sexual immorality so we could live holy lives. Today, we see that the Holy Spirit, who we receive at the time of our conversion, was also given to us in order to pour God's love into our hearts and to teach us how to love one another. Jesus said, "I send you the Holy Spirit who will teach you all things." Now, it is essential to see that in verse 9 that two forms of love are introduced to us: brotherly love and agape love. Verse 9, but concerning brotherly love, Philadelphia in the Greek, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love, different word, agape one another. Agape love, our second topic under love that sacrifices. So why does Paul talk about two different types of love in the same sentence? What is the difference between brotherly love and agape love? Brotherly love, Philadelphia, is a feeling of affection, an attachment to a family member. It is a matter of the heart. Agape love is a deliberate action or act of the will. It is a matter of the mind. It is an obedient love that is not based on emotions that come and go. Agape is a love that is willing to obey God's word towards another in spite of how we feel. Both loves are God's loves, tender-hearted, brotherly love towards each other, as well as agape, willful obedience in our actions. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, Peter writes, having purified your souls in obedience of the truth for a sincere brotherly love, now love, or agape, one another fervently from a pure heart. Peter is telling us, now that we are Christians and have been given sincere brotherly love for each other as family members, now we are to agape each other fervently. This word fervently, ektenose, is a verb or an action, which means to stretch out the hand. It has the meaning of being stretched out or to lay ourselves out for someone else. True agape love always stretches, always expresses itself in acts of sacrifice, acts of service for others. It meets the needs of others. It is a costly love. It's a love in action that unselfishly gives out to others, born out of our brotherly love in our hearts. God wants us to stretch ourselves out for others because he stretched himself out for us on the cross. Now, in verse 10, we are told that the Thessalonian believers were extending agape love to all the Christians who lived in the region of Macedonia, Christians from Philippi, Berea, Amphipolis, and other small cities. For you yourselves are taught by God to agape one another, verse 10, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all of Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. The Thessalonian Christians were known for their giving love. Most likely they guested Christians from other cities in their homes as they passed through the area, graciously feeding them and taking care of their needs. But at the end of verse 10, Paul writes, we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Paul was earnestly exhorting these Thessalonian Christians to increase their agape sacrificial love to others, to grow and to expand in the degree and intensity in which they reached out and helped others in need. Likewise, dear ladies, the Holy Spirit is asking each of us this morning to grow and expand in our agape sacrificial love for others, to increase in the degree and intensity in which we reach out and help others in need. Agape love is something that should grow as we grow as Christians and be extended more widely in our lives. For years now, I've experienced God stretching me to love others more unselfishly and more sacrificially. I remember the first time my aunt and uncle from New York with almost no notice, wanted to come visit my husband and I for 2 weeks. At the time, I was very busy. It was inconvenient. I didn't want them to come. I was reluctant. But God worked on my heart, and I obeyed. I changed my attitude and encouraged them to come. After this, I saw that God had softened and changed my selfish heart. And each year that followed, I genuinely wanted them to come and visit at any time, which they did. We must remember that agape love is willing to obey God's word towards others in spite of how we feel, in spite of inconvenience and sacrifice. God's sacrificial agape love, when put into action, does 3 things. It glorifies God, it uplifts Christians, and it draws the lost to himself, like my aunt and uncle. Has the Holy Spirit been asking you to reach out and help someone? Have you been reluctant because it's inconvenient? Or maybe a major imposition? Maybe he's asking you to sacrifice a great deal, maybe more than you've ever sacrificed before. Perhaps you have a family member who has lost their job or home and doesn't have a place to stay, and you don't have room for them, but God is saying, make room, make room. Agape love is often a call to sacrifice our time, money, comfort, privacy, convenience, way of life, even where we live and work, if God is calling us to another mission field. Maybe you are scared because you don't know where the end is to what God is calling you to do. But the Lord is saying to you the same thing he spoke to the heart of Abraham when he called him to follow by faith. Trust me. In James chapter 3, verse 17, and this is one of my favorite memory verses. James chapter 3, verse 17, we are told that the wisdom from above is peaceable. God's wisdom is peaceable. When God is calling us to agape and sacrifice for others, he fills us with his peace from above. When we are called to help somebody, he lets us know in our hearts that it's the right thing to do. As Christians, we need to walk our talk. Right, ladies? The unsaved are watching. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love, agape, one another, as I have agaped you, that you also agape one another. By this all will know you are my disciples, if you have agape love for one another. Agape love is meant to be extended beyond our brothers and sisters in the Lord. As we will see in verse 11 and 12, it was meant to go to the outside world. In our text, it even meant to go to those who persecuted the Thessalonian Christians. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater agape love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his philos in the Greek, or neighbor. When asked who our neighbor is, Jesus taught in Luke chapter 10 that our neighbor is anyone who needs help, Christian or non-Christian, enemy or friend. We agape our neighbor when we extend compassion and mercy to all who need it, just like the Good Samaritan did when he helped the stranger who fell among thieves. My sisters, Jesus gave his life for us with agape love, and he is calling us to give our lives sacrificially for others, saved and unsaved. The question is, are we willing to obey? But we urge you, brethren, sisterin, that you increase more and more. Now we move from part one, a love that sacrifices, to part two, verses 11 and 12, love that works. Love that works. Let's start by reading the end of verse 10. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, semicolon, verse 11, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Now, a semicolon is used to link verse 10 and verse 11. A semicolon is used to link two closely related thoughts. In this instance, it's linking exhorting Christians to increase in agape love towards each other and others with leading a quiet life, staying out of others' business, and working with their hands. The Thessalonian church, although known for their agape love, was also a church that needed much improvement in it. Three areas are listed in verse 11. Let's look at the last area first. Point number one, they needed to work. Paul commanded them to work with their own hands. Apparently, there were some in the church who, although fully able to, did not work and relied on others to support them financially. In his second letter to the Thessalonians, Paul addresses this ongoing problem when he writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11, "For we hear that there are some among you who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies." Evidently, some believers were still being supported by their rich benefactors or patrons, which was a common Greek practice, and others, some of the Christians in the Thessalonian church, were so worked up and excited about Christ's imminent return that they saw no need to work. Instead of working and leading quiet lives that honored God before a lost world, they were idle, disorderly busybodies, out of line with God's will. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." By not working, these Christians were taking advantage of those who supported them and not glorifying God in their lives. The opposite of true agape love. As Christians, we must never take advantage of others, whether it be financially or in any other way. We are not to be idle or lazy, which can lead to many sins, including being busybodies and gossips. And again, in verse 11, Paul wrote, "Work with your hands as we commanded you." Now, in Proverbs chapter 31, we have an excellent example of a virtuous woman or an honorable woman who did just that. In Proverbs 31, verse 27, we are told that this woman watched over the ways of her household and did not eat the bread of idleness. Instead of being idle, we are told that her hands were always working. In Proverbs 31, 13, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. The Amplified Bible Version says she works with willing hands in delight. And in Proverbs 31, verse 20, we are told she opens or extends her hand to the poor, and she reaches out her filled hands to the needy. Agape love in action. In verse 17 of Proverbs 31, we are told this virtuous woman equipped herself with strength, spiritual, mental, and physical fitness for God-given tasks. She was a woman who immersed herself in prayer and in the word of God, and she made her arms strong. God's desire for each one of us here today is to be a virtuous woman. Rather than being idle, to work with our own hands, sacrifice for others, and to delight ourselves in our God-given tasks. Back to verse 11. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life. Point number two, to lead a quiet life. The word aspire in the Greek means to strive earnestly. This is an oxymoron or a contradiction, to strive for a quiet life. This, my dear sisters, is the goal of my life. You see, I have found over many years that I have the type of personality that is prone to create drama in one way or the other. I can't go too long without making an issue or a problem over something. I have grown to hate this about myself, and my desire more than anything has been for quietness, steadiness, no self-made ups and downs, no drama. Many people live from one crisis to the next. This is not God's will for us. Instead, we should strive to have emotionally quiet lives, whether it be at home with our husbands and children, or our parents and roommates, at work with our coworkers, with our friends and strangers alike. Now, in verse 11, Paul writes that you aspire to lead a quiet life, comma, to mind your own business. These two things go hand in hand, a quiet life and minding your own business, point number three. A busybody stirs up strife, the opposite of a peaceable and quiet life. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Those who are idle or lazy, shunning the work they ought to be doing, and having too much time on their hands, became gossips or talebearers, slandering others by making false and damaging statements about them. They were also busybodies, interfering in others' lives, making a big deal about small things and being neglectful of their own obvious things, like working with their own hands. As Jesus said, there are those who are always trying to take the speck out of somebody else's eye and are neglecting the 2x4 beam in their own eye. Too often we don't lead quiet lives because we insist on being eye inspectors to those around us. For me, I often concentrate on the speck in my husband's eye and act more like a mother or a nag than a supportive wife. My aim, 1 Peter chapter 3, to submissively win my husband by my good example, without a word, to have a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15, we are told, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, and as a busybody in other people's matters. Now that's some bad company. A murderer, a thief, and a busybody. Doesn't that sound like the beginning of a joke? But God certainly hates the actions of a busybody. Those who interfere or pry or try to supervise others' lives and also neglect their own obvious sins. Rather, as we have learned this morning, God would command you and I to strive earnestly to lead emotionally quiet lives, to mind our own business and concentrate and let God deal with our own faults, and to work with our hands joyfully on our God-given tasks, not being idle. The outcome is seen in verse 12, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. This is truly a love that works, a love that glorifies God by walking properly before the outside world, before a lost and dying world, which desperately needs to see something different and authentic from Christians. And a love that lacks nothing, that is self-supporting, whose hands are working, and because of this, they're in a position to help others who are really in need. In closing, God's agape love is a love that increasingly stretches out and sacrifices for others. A love that does not take advantage of others, and a love that speaks volumes without a word. O Lord, let us increase more and more in your marvelous agape love. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. It's a good word to us today, Lord. It's a powerful word, Lord. Because we know that your number one thing is about saving souls, Lord. That the one thing that we could take to heaven with us is the lost. And Lord, you said that the way they will know you, the way that they will see that you are real, is when we agape love, when we stretch out for others, when we show something different that the world has to offer. And Lord, I pray that for each one of us, however you're calling us, Holy Spirit, whatever you're laying upon our hearts, Lord, that we would be willing to obey you, not because we feel like it, but because we know it's the right thing, because you give us peace, because you're calling us to do it, because it glorifies you, uplifts our sisters and brothers, and draws the lost to yourself, Lord. So help us to be willing, Lord, whatever it is. Lead us by your Spirit. Give us that peace from above. Let us know in our hearts it's the right thing. And Lord, let us be joyfully about the work that you've given us to do. Whatever it is, Lord, work is a blessing from the Lord. It makes everything run in this world that we're in. And we thank you for the work you've called us to do. Every one of us is called to do something, Lord. And let us do it joyfully, Lord. Let us not be idle, Lord. Let's be about your work, whatever we could do. Even working with our hands in prayer, Lord, we pray. Let us never take advantage of others, Lord, but look to be a blessing to others. And lastly, Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to lead quiet lives, Lord. Emotionally stable lives, Lord. That we wouldn't be causing ourselves to be going up and down, Lord. And we would, hand in hand, have not be busybodies, Lord. Not be about what we see in others' lives. Those closest to us, usually, were eye inspectors, Lord. But let us be supportive of them, winning them without a word, by our good example, Lord. I pray that we would have those gentle and quiet spirits. You do that deep work within us, that lasting work within us, that we have gentle and quiet spirits that glorify you, Lord. So we thank you, we praise you, we pray that you would just help us, Holy Spirit, sanctify us, Lord, and be glorified in our lives. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.